Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, March 26, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just great. It's a beautiful, warm day here in the eastern shore of Maryland. It's 75 plus degrees, but the bad part of it is very windy. We're getting a lot of wind today, but it's still a lovely, lovely day.
And don't you love it when you see the trees getting green and the flowers coming out, and you know the warm weather's coming? That makes you feel better.
I'm so ready for it this year. And we really didn't have a bad winter, you know.
We had a bit of cold. We didn't have a lot of snow here, but a lot of cold.
Well, I think that's why it's winter. You usually should.
Yeah, I know. And the older I get, I remember my grandpa telling me a cold weather went right through him, and I think, now I know what he talks about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, when I moved to the Eastern Shore, you talk about cold going through you. When you're walking up there on close to that water and it's very cold, I mean, that cold with the moisture.
Oh, yes, no doubt.
It does go right through you. It's a brr. Anyway, sunshine is here.
Well, I still think I'd buy us a place down in the Keys for the wintertime.
Well, maybe not the Keys.
Well, somewhere in that area, you know.
They get big bugs down there.
We can go out on our yacht and do some fishing. Yeah, folks, think about that now. But anyway, we all have dreams. But go ahead.
Well, you know what? I wonder if we had all the listeners, everybody donates and becomes a partner into a boat, we could probably get a pretty big yacht.
We could, actually.
We'd all share it.
Yeah, just trying to divide up equally would be kind of, it better be a big one.
All things are possible. And it was possible for gold today to be higher. It's up $5.60 at $1,733. Silver, not so lucky, down 7 pennies at $25.08. Platinum was up $33 at $1,186. Palladium was up 68 at $2,748. I forgot to do the dollar. The dollar was down slightly, 0.12, at 92.73. Crude oil was up another $2 at 60.75. And the paper markets today, just another happy day in the neighborhood. You have the paper markets, the Dow. Are you kidding me? I mean, usually I would, you know, on exciting days, I follow the paper markets, but on, you know, quiet days, but the Dow was up 453 points at 33,072. The NASDAQ was up 161 at 13,138. The S&P was up 64 at 3,974. 10-year yield, 1.73%. And European markets and Asia markets have been pretty much the same as they were all week. With Japan down another 2, and everything else fairly quiet. And it's, we've been pretty busy here at Discount Gold and Silver trading today, so really didn't get a chance to see what was really moving, you know, some of the markets. I guess we're going to talk a little bit later on in the program about the Suez blockage. And how that might affect the oil prices. I don't know. U.S. household spending fell in February. So I don't know why that would push the market up 500 points. China's supposed to be cracking down on their debt. Well, yeah, we'll see about that. And I guess I think the key thing is money is just no object. You know, to these governments around the world, they're going to do what needs to be done. I guess inflation doesn't seem to worry anybody. And, you know, and it's interesting, there was one report out today about the U.S. equities and the global bond markets. They were weakened because the Treasury auctions were very tepid. And so it's shouldn't have led to a 500-point increase. The only thing I could think of, perhaps, Butch, is, you know, the talk of the trillions of dollars that is going to be spent on infrastructure. And that the Fed will do whatever is going to continue to buy these treasuries and put money into the market with no end in sight. So that, yeah, that would kind of make me want to, be happy for the paper markets, but that's it. It's got to be government money. Government money is what's leading our economy.
And so, that's all it is.
That's all it is.
All it is. And for how many decades now have we believed that governments can actually make money and spend money? Governments don't, well, they print money, but they don't make money. They don't earn money. Governments don't pay taxes. There's nothing to build the infrastructure. They print money to spend on what we call private enterprise, perhaps, building bridges or building roads. But the more money it prints, the less dollars, the less it buys. But governments do not essentially earn money. They print money, so therefore it is inflationary. It is nothing. But we take it as an item of trade because we think it's good. I stopped by a neighbor's house today, and I get fresh milk over there with fresh butter and eggs, and I bought a gallon of milk, you know, for $2.50. And I give her a 2-piece of paper and a couple cheap coins, and she accepted it in payment for an asset that's actually worth something. She accepted a couple pieces of paper and two alloy coins and took it as an exchange, because that's what we're trained to do. If we would ever figure out that is worthless. It would collapse in overnight, but people don't understand that. So it's still working, Mildy. They still got us fooled. I give her 2 pieces of paper, the one on it, and some silver-coated coins, and I got the gallon of milk. Hmm. Silver-collared coins, I should say. So that's what we're doing. We have faith it's good, so we go ahead and spend it.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just that easy. And every time I make a transaction now for something that is a value, for something, giving something that's no value, it's on my mind, because I do the same thing. Somebody owes me something, they pay me whatever, $20 bill, whatever. I take it because that's what we do for exchange. But if we all had the same faith, we could do it in seashells or a lump of coal or some gravel. I mean, that's all that makes it worthwhile is faith in it.
You're absolutely, it's a con job.
It is a con job.
Confidence. It's all the confidence. And one day something happens that usually will break that confidence. But, you know, we talk a lot about the UBI, Universal Basic Income. We talked about California doing it, and, you know, several programs have done it. Here, San Francisco is going to give $1,000 a month to artists in basic income. Artists, you know.
Oh, really?
Artists, yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to receive $1,000 a month. This is in San Francisco, which is really amazing, because you have, if the stories are true, and I have no reason to believe that they're not true, you have people laying on the streets, drug addicts, pooping in the streets and everything, but yet they can find $1,000 to give to artists in basic income program, in a basic income program.
Well, who determines that they're an artist?
The Guarantee Income Pilot Program will dish out the funds for 6 months to 130 eligible artists. This is according to the Yerba.
Oh my gosh.
Yerba Buena Center for the Arts website. To qualify, applicants must be San Francisco residents under certain income thresholds who face economic loss during the pandemic. The program is open to every artistic tradition, including music, dance, creative writing, visual art, performance art, installation, photography, theater, arts education, and craftsmanship. The artist must be rooted in a historically marginalized community. Now, what do you think that means?
I don't know.
must be rooted in a historically marginalized community. They must work there.
What does the word marginalized mean? Exclusive?
Well, I was thinking...
Exclusive?
Well, maybe. But I don't know why my... Considering how... I was thinking maybe in a lower income. I don't know. But anyway, the arts are truly critical to our local economy and are essential part of our long-term. And it goes on. And this is all from the Mayor London Breed.
On and on we go.
I'm sorry. London Breed is his name. And so
you know,
anyway.
I was in San Francisco back in the 60s. I was in the Air Force on the way to, Vietnam. I flew in San Francisco. And a friend of mine walked across the Golden Gate Bridge. We had a few days. We went down into downtown in the trolleys. San Francisco, and I do not like cities. But San Francisco, part that I got to see was a beautiful city. Clean. The shops were really, they were really well kept. Got into Chinatown briefly. It was interesting. I didn't spend much time there. But San Francisco was a really well put together town when I was there. And the trolley system was interesting to ride on. And kind of up and down those hills, it had some good views. But from what I'm seeing now that's going on in San Francisco and Los Angeles, other places, they're no longer pretty places to be. Businesses are going, as you said, people living in the streets and doing all manner of things in the streets.
Yeah,
that's sad. That's been in my lifetime. It's went from a city of class to what it is now. We're going to talk a little bit about the cop clearing out homeless communities. I believe San Francisco, I believe it is. We'll share it in a minute. But this is... That's how much has changed in my lifetime, LD.
Yeah, I know. So it's, it's just a... It's just a sign of the times of, where this is all heading and what they're conditioning everyone to do. Now, these artists, these 130, what are they going to do after 6 months? They're going to come to depend on... No, they're going to come to depend on that. And that's the sad thing.
They'll, up, people they'll become upgrade their lifestyle and get used to it.
Yep.
They'll spend more. Yep.
Yep. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of sad. It is. And it's going to get people used to something they can't maintain. Or maybe that's the whole goal. Maybe they do want to maintain it. And say we have to now. We started it. And it'll increase the socialistic moves of UBI for a lot of people. We did it for them, and they depend on it. Now we got to continue it. But it's not fair if you don't give it to somebody else. Like the other city, Oakland or what? And California's going to give the $500 a month to the poor color community. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can't stop that after a while because that wouldn't be fair to them. And we got to expand it now to the aging community and others, too. So, yeah, this is heading in that direction. And it's happened. It doesn't happen in one giant leap. It's happened over decades and little steps along the way to everybody got adjusted to it. And it started with Social Security and WPA.
Yes.
It started there. And people got used to it. It was a good idea at the time, it seemed like. But, it's still going on. The stimulus packages are just another step in that direction. We'll just bait them in with another $1,400, whatever it's going to be. That's how it's working.
And you know what's amazing is lots of times you talk to people about Medicare, and they want all this free health care for everybody, free this and free that. It's a wonderful, it would be wonderful if it worked. But they never think past the idea that it helps some people. They don't get past that to look a little bit deeper into, what happens though to society, and what happens to your government, and what happens to your, to your care and so forth. Everything declines. But no one ever seems to look past the goodness of it. Hey, it all sounds great that we could have health care, but what happens? You have free health care for everybody, and your health care begins to decline.
Look at other nations have done that. Surely,
yes.
The problem is we never look around us. Look at nations,
no.
Even Canada. Look at nations that have done that. Yeah, you know, people come across the border to come into the United States to get surgery done, then they can't do in Canada for maybe 6 months, a year, or longer. How about the UK? Same thing, but we never look beyond that.
We don't look beyond that, and nobody wants to hear it beyond
that. No, they
don't. Oh well, there's these other countries that do it, and they're very successful. Well, ask them how much their cup of coffee costs.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them how much this costs, and how good is their actual health care.
And what are their taxes?
Yeah. So, there's always a price to be paid.
And the deception of all of it, like this first article I was going to share, Americans made an additional $1.1 trillion last year, but it was stimulus money. They didn't make it. We didn't make it. Mm-mm. It was given to us from our own tax monies, although it hadn't been paid for yet. We're going to pay for it in the future. But they give us the stimulus package and say, we made the money. No, we didn't earn the money. It was a government handout. For whatever reason, maybe, but it said the nation actually prospered last year in extra money, but from the government handouts. This is not free enterprise. This is not what America is built on. This is a welfare handout. That's just the way it is.
Yep.
I know people are too good to get it. I know that I'll spend it on some housework and some working on the house here that updated some. But it still doesn't change the fact that it was not real income. It wasn't something went out and earned. It was just something that was given to us. It caused inflation. It caused a greater tax burden. They'll never get paid. And maybe that's why they're doing it, because they really don't care, because they know they can't pay it. So, I don't know. But I know it outpaced, you know, gains in wages and other and property value. I mean, it's short dead. People weren't working. So they give them a handout. Go ahead, Melody. I just want to share that.
No, I'm glad you did.
We have gotten so, I said we, I didn't say you, I said we have gotten so used to the idea that government's going to bail us out. If we get laid off, we'll get an unemployment check, and they'll boost our unemployment so we can have more money coming in maybe than when we're working. All this has got to be something we turn to man for, that takes it from us to give it back to us, or prints more than what we actually pay in taxes and makes your dollar worth value, lose value every day. So, I don't know. Is it really benefiting people? Temporarily, perhaps materially. But in the long run, it destroys the country. It always does.
Hey, we're heading into the first break of the program. Please stay with us. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, oh boy. I just saw a headline. I don't know if you saw it, but supposedly New York is launching its first nation's first vaccine passports.
Yes, that? I saw that. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Oh, well. Anyway.
Well, you know, we're seeing it eased in. Like I said, it doesn't happen overnight. They don't come out and just say, well, we're going to do a national passport. We're going to have this across state lines and get on the plane. They don't do that. But they're bringing a piece at a time. A little bit here. Oakland, California, $500 a month, and San Francisco, $1,000 a month for six. So, but they ease it in a little bit at a time. People might rebel if they didn't. So, that's where we are.
That's where we are.
You know,
what's
and
next?
We're looking at the Los Angeles Times and San Diego Tribune. Now, this shouldn't surprise us. Newspapers are almost a thing of the past. They lost over $50 million in 2020, and so the company leadership told staffers at an all-in-hand meeting on Thursday. Chris Argenturi, the president of two papers, California Times parent company, described the loss as a catastrophic drop in revenue for the company, north of $50 million on top of a business that was already using cash and not producing cash. Newspapers, either way you look at it, they're basically gone. Everybody goes to computers and online, and very few people actually read anymore, Melody. You know, they don't. And I hate to say that, but it's a fact. People don't really get in there to reading. I mean, so newspapers are just, they're bulky, time-consuming, expensive. They just go to computer, punch a button, and there's the headlines. So how many newspapers do you know of in the past couple of years when I've been, it's because of lack of circulation.
Well, I think, too, even talk radio has hurt the paper business, YouTube, all this, you know, and it's, you know, you go to your favorite spots online, to read the articles that support your beliefs. And I think it's all part of of creating the division, because all of our ideas are enforced by 100 and so there is never any coming together. We are divided more. And so, you know, I said a long time ago that I thought the internet was probably one of the most harmful things to our society.
I agree.
And everybody yells at me, oh, no, look at the technology. Look at this. Look at all the good things that it's done and so forth. I says, well, it's done good things for the economy. And for some of these multinational corporations to become wealthier, but for a society, I don't think it has done good things.
Well,
and I use it. You know, don't get me wrong.
Do.
I use it.
Most people do. Yeah. I mean, it's like a cell phone. We can communicate more now than we ever did. We can. But it's taken away personal communication. It's taken away the ability to write letters and actually, you know, speak on the phone. You just text somebody and move on. And it's taken away time from family time. You go to a restaurant, and instead of talking to the family, they're on the phones.
This
is what we're seeing.
We're probably, with the phones and everything, we're probably in touch with each other more often, as you said. but we probably communicate less.
That's it. I still in the same way, and I know sometimes it aggravates ladies here in the office sometimes, but when I tell somebody they want to send an email to check, you know, to ask for something, I say, let's call them. That way I know for sure they got it. If I send that on a computer, that doesn't mean they're going to get it. Right. I like to be on the phone with them and talk to them in person.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, so that's just, I'm an old-fashioned guy, I know I am, but it is what it is. Back to some news here. You know, we know, I would never have thought the computer chips would shut down business, but GM is going to have to cut production of mid-size pickups due to chip shortage. I mean, wow, chip shortage. General Motors will suspend production of its mid-size pickup trucks due to a global semiconductor chip shortage. In the latest shutdown, if the automaker prioritizes production of its larger, more profitable full-size pickups and SUVs, downtime at the Missouri plant will start Monday and run through the April 12th, according to a message sent to employees on Wednesday by the United Auto Workers Union local. The plant produces GMC Canyon and Chevrolet Colorado pickups. Van production at the facility will not be impacted, GM said. GM also pulled ahead scheduled downtime for the plant by 2 weeks to May 24th through July 19th to allow for more time to build product during the second half of 2021, the union said. GM spokesman David Barmas confirmed the plan. So, a computer chip. Melody, who would have thought a semiconductor chip, a computer chip, would shut down car manufacturing and a whole lot of other manufacturing processes because they don't have I don't want to be made out of silicone. I have no idea. Chip that they can put in a computer device to make the car run or to run your appliances. It all sounded convenient to start with, man. Well, put it on computers. It's going to be more efficient. It's going to be better for the earth and it's going to save energy. We'll do it on computers. No one ever thought that one day you may run out of computer parts or you can't produce them fast enough. So GM suffering also, and the workers, I'm sure they'll be fine, laid off 2 weeks to draw employment. But the point of it is, it could continue. And with what's happening now in the Suez Canal, we'll cover in a minute. A lot of things
are going on. You know, there was just on the topic that you're just talking about, there's just some breaking news that Jeep, Dodge, maker of Stellantis temporary closing 5 North American plants due to chip shortage.
Wow. 5 plants shutting down entirely?
5 North American plants. That's just the headline. Starting next week through early or mid April due to the ongoing semiconductor chip shortage. The impacted plants are in Illinois, Michigan, Mexico, and 2 in Ontario, Canada. They build an array of products for the company. Semiconductors are key components used in the infotainment, power steering, and braking of new vehicles, among other systems. And let's see if there's anything else of interest there. So, the shortage is impacting every automaker differently. Several manufacturers, including GM, Ford Motor, and Chinese EVEV startups NIO, this week also announced a production cut, just like you had mentioned. Stellantis is the merged automaker of Fiat Chrysler and France-based PSA. In the U.S., those brands include Alfa Romeo, Chrysler, Dodge, Fiat, Jeep, and Ram. So, all of these brand names, it's just amazing. No vehicle is made in the United States anymore.
No.
It's amazing. No. The chip and shortage is certainly an impact.
Well, again, that's just the idea, as I've said before in this broadcast, that our local dealer that I buy appliances from and I do buy them, I said it's better to buy used ones that are mechanical than to buy the new ones because they both last about the same time, the same warranty, and you can't fix a timer, or you can, but you'll pay much for a timer on a new washing machine than you do as much for you do for a new washing machine. It may be the way they're made to be disposable. So, and the refrigerator the same way. So, folks, this is where we got ourselves into. like your lump, but that's the way it is. So when you have dealers that tell you it's better to buy something older that's mechanical, we can fix it. But we can't fix new ones because they have to replace the whole works. That should tell something. If I ever had the money, I'd buy me an automobile back before they become computerized. That's what I would do. Maybe a little pickup something I have. So it'll run when everything else is shut down. But it's something to add even more to the, I guess, severity of goods. Suez Canal blockage adds strain to global supply chains. And that's something to think about. One ship, huge, yes it is, we'll share it in a minute, can shut down a Suez Canal. A stuck container vessel in the Suez Canal, which has blocked the flow of goods through the narrow channel, will add strain to global supply chains already stressed by rebounding economic activity and tight shipping container supplies, analysts said on Friday. The 400-meter ship, which is something like, I think, around 1,400 feet long. I mean, that's huge. The 400 meters long ever given container vessel had been stuck in a canal since Tuesday, suspending traffic of containers of transporting goods, parts, and equipment through the shortest sea link between Europe and Asia. The blockage comes as shipments have already been disrupted by the coronavirus pandemic, a surge in demand for goods. Efforts are underway to free the vessel, although salvage experts warn the process may take weeks. Roughly 30% of global container traffic. Now, folks, listen, almost a third of global container traffic flows through the canal annually. Wow. The severed trade route could affect 10 to 15% of the world container container throughput while the blockage persists, analysts from Moody's Investor Service said. So that is huge. 30% roughly goes through that canal annually. And they said they're afraid to ship around Africa because of pirates. So they're kind of, they don't know what to do. But this ship stuck in the Suez Canal said it's going to raise oil prices. They already did. Rose over 3% on fears the Suez blockage may last weeks. Oil, according to this article, Brent crude went up $2.12 to $64.07. U.S. West Texas went up to 60.72, up 216, a barrel. So this is already affecting the price of gasoline and fuel and heating fuel, whatever, in this country, around the world, I guess, because the Suez Canal has been blocked off. And Melody, if they could do that with one ship by accident, if they want to shut off for good, what would a little bit of explosive do?
Pardon? What was the question?
I said, one accident, one ship can block this off. What would happen if they wouldn't have shut it off for whatever reason, maybe a war or whatever? It wouldn't take much shutdown for a lot longer than a few weeks if they wouldn't have shut it down. It would just be over.
Oh, absolutely. I watched an interview earlier when this happened on CNBC, and it really was interesting, him talking about it. And they were talking about a lot of these other cargo ships can actually go, you know, other routes, but it's going to take, you know, several weeks longer for them to get these ships. And these ships, he said there was like 50 to 80 ships a day that goes through the Suez Canal. And so that's how fast they're building up. They're just sitting there idle. And it really is, you wouldn't think. And Evergreen is a Japan-owned company. You wouldn't think that having a cargo ship, get caught in the sand is such a big deal, but it really is. It really is. And just think if Iran decided to shut down.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the Straits of Hormuz.
Straits of Hormuz. Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't take much.
No, it wouldn't take much. And look at the damage that it does. So things, and you're right, just how quick things can change.
And this is world. This affects everybody worldwide, not just the United States. It affects everybody.
It affects everybody.
You know, everything today is shipped or interlinked as a world to depend on one another to supply needs. We shouldn't have to be that way in a country like the United States, but we are. We no longer have our independence to take care of ourselves. At other time, perhaps this would have hurt, but it wouldn't be so catastrophic. It's just like with the semiconductor chips. If we had our own plants here, we maybe wouldn't be so dependent on other places. But independence is something I don't know of any nation in the world today that's totally independent any longer. Don't know of any. We used to be. In my lifetime, we were. But not for a long time. So, any comments to that?
Nope, not at all.
This next article, go ahead.
But when you really think about it, it really is an amazing 20,000 container capacity. 20,000.
Oh, yeah. The ship's about 1,350 foot long. That's 400 meters, roughly.
Yeah.
Imagine that's 4.5 football fields.
Yeah.
It would take an hour to walk that. I mean, think about that. That's huge.
And there was one question that was asked in this interview, because then they started talking about climate control and all this kind of stuff. And they said the exhaust from these cargo ships, four of them, produce as much carbon or whatever you want to call it as all the automobiles produce in a year.
Wow, I did not know that.
It wasn't four, it was 15 of them. It was 15 of those ships. And the guy says, well, you know, that's a comparison that he's heard, you know, people talk about and so forth. But still, you know, give or take a few in either direction. That's still massive, the
it
output.
Massive. It is. And
you know, the carbon, yeah.
And these ships are sitting there idle. Maybe some of them, as I said, they're afraid to go around to Africa because they're afraid of pirates. Maybe they're going to sit there in that port somewhere for 3-4 weeks to clear this out. Can you imagine what's going to cost to maintain that crew and keep everything going for that long? I mean, that could up the price of commodities also, because it does cost money to keep people on the ships. You got to feed them, take care of them.
Yeah, but all my point was all these people who talk about climate change and all of this kind of stuff, and they want to change our automobiles to electric when, you know, we're hardly putting out, but yet these cargo ships go unchecked.
I agree.
So, hey, we just need to stop. People just need to stop buying things and see how they like that.
I don't see that happening. Not anymore.
I don't either.
I don't see it happening. I really don't. People cannot get organized enough to stand against hardly anything any longer, much less not buy things. Can you imagine that?
Can you imagine?
So we're going to break. I'm going to start the next article. 70% tax rate thanks to Biden. I'm going to share that article here after the break because this is a little bit complicated for me to understand. Maybe you can explain to me better than what I can understand it.
Well, your buddy Pete Buttigieg, and he's already talking about higher taxes there, too. So we'll be talking about all kinds of taxes. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk TimUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, heading into the third segment of the program, the last program of the week. And you wanted to talk about taxes again?
Yeah, why not? I mean, people like you as well, they don't mind another tax increase.
No, okay.
And I want to share two articles I'm going to tie here together, so I think they go together. 7% tax rate, thanks to Biden. Economists warn it'll be close for some of us. If the United States doesn't implode from mass illegal immigration or media-stoked race wars, the crushing tax burden for President Joe Biden and other Democrats could deliver the death blow. Now, I want to share this article about immigration. 42 million want to move to America. They estimate that 42 million people from Latin America and the Caribbean want to move to the United States, according to a Gallup poll. That would be equal to the population of Connecticut, Utah, Iowa, Nevada, Arkansas, Mississippi, Kansas, New Mexico, Nebraska, West Virginia, Idaho, Hawaii, New Hampshire, Maine, Montana, Rhode Island, Delaware, North and South Dakota, Alaska, the District of Columbia, Vermont, and Wyoming, or more than the population of California put together. So 42 million people want to move here, and if they're coming here to come in naturally and do it right and get jobs, okay. But it doesn't say that. And we know many millions will come here any way they can because they expect a free handout. But that is huge. 42 million. Melody, I don't know how many we're going to have come across the border this year or any time in the future illegally, but we have approximately 330 million people in this country. And if they had another 2 or 3, 4 million every year or two, that's going to be a huge increase, and there's no way we can afford it. The Biden's getting ready to open up another youth center to house the illegal aliens that are coming across, in Texas now. That'll house another 500 illegal young folks. And much as I hate to see anyone turned away, that breaks my heart, we can't support this forever, and I think the powers that be know this. So they're adding that to our burden also. That's why I tied in with the tax increase. They're adding all this to the burden, and now they want to increase taxes. I think they're trying to break the back of the economy. They shut down the economy for basically a year, 6-7 months, just basically shut the whole thing down worldwide, but here in America. So now they want to add taxes on top of that. The Biden administration is preparing to raise taxes on high-income earners, which it defines as Americans making $400,000 a year or more. However, critics warn that the Democrats' tax hikes would be a catastrophic impact on lower-income people as well. It always is, folks. Businesses don't pay taxes. They pass them on to us. Understand that. If Democrats get their way, millions of Americans should get ready for 70% tax rates, according to the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, an economic advocacy group. The organization, whose goal was to promote U.S. prosperity, was founded in 2015 by economists Steve Forbes, Steve Moore, Arthur Laffer, and Larry Kudlow. The Biden tax plan that Congress will start debating this week or next week would raise the top income tax rate from 39.6% from 37%. But also would impose a new payroll tax of 15% on earnings over $400,000, which could be as little as $200,000 each for a married couple. The combined payroll income tax rate would bring the marginal tax rate on an additional hour of work to roughly 54%. Think about that. However, the overall tax rate will balloon to a staggering 70% once you add in state income taxes from high-tax states run by Democrats. Hence, if you live in a high-tax state like New York, New Jersey, California, or your marginal tax rate will start to approach 70%. But it's worse than that. There is a proposal to raise income tax in California, New Jersey, and New York. So the only answer government has to provide for themselves, and they are a leech, is to bleed the people that much more, Melody. Now, how many people want to work for 30 cents on a dollar?
I don't know of too many. But, you know, Bill Clinton said back in the 90s, and, you know, I really hate quoting Bill Clinton, but, I mean, he did make the statement, not word for word, but it wouldn't be long before people would be paying, what, 80%?
Yep.
In taxes? And I know there was a lot, oh, well, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Yeah, we are. It's heading that direction.
70% is awful close.
Yeah, it is. And they haven't, and they're only just beginning. They're only just beginning.
And the more free stuff they add, health care, as you mentioned, other things, the more free stuff they add, the UBIs and all that, they're going up even higher for those that are still working. Now, this destroys the incentive to want to work.
Well, it destroys everything.
It does.
Not
but
just
why would somebody want to work when
they're
going to take 70% of what they make? Well, I mean, if they make less, they don't give as much. Well, why would he want to produce more? That's just going to come back on production and everything else. So prosperity is going down the tubes along with tax increases. Anything you want to add to that?
No, I don't. And, you know, and the thing of it is, I mean, as long as people are getting a piece of the pie, they're willing for other people to pay the baker. And yet everything else just sort of crumbles around. It's just always amazing that people cannot see the whole picture. Because taxes aren't going down. And heaven forbid they stop spending. You know, they just had a $1.9 trillion stimulus. Hey, you want to help people through the pandemic? Fine. That was $900 billion. But you got another trillion sitting there. You have $1 trillion sitting there from the stimulus before under Trump. They do these stimulus in a way that they spread it over years just so it could get passed. And everybody says, well, oh, good, people are going to get helped and so forth. They might be getting help now. What kind of help are they going to get when this all comes due? Then where is government going to be? Where is the money going to come from? Where is their help? Butch.
It is what it is. You're telling the truth. Another $3 billion, or $3 trillion in infrastructure that's going to be paid for by printed paper money or digits on a computer. This next article, folks, should make you a little bit wary about banks in general, but also especially if you bank with all your with digital currencies. Mystery for Chase Bank customer. 1 second, he had nearly $250,000 in his account. The next, boom, zero, nothing. Now, folks, think about this. This could happen to anybody. Talk about a shocker. You open your checking and savings accounts and see nearly $250,000 gone. Poof, disappeared. CBS 2 Morning Insider Lorraine Victory introduces us to Miles, a Chicagoan, with a simple message to the bank. Show me the money. I open my bank account. Boom, zero, nothing, he said. Miles asked us to obscure his identity because he doesn't want the world to know he's got this in the money, this much money. At least he did. Miles went to a Chase Bank branch for answers after seeing one transaction take away $200,000, another one wipe away $36,000. The bank manager at Chase was shocked. She goes, this is more than my condo, Mal says. Not only was he at a loss for money, but answers too. Communications blackout from Chase. They wouldn't say anything. They blocked my account, so I had no access, he said. It's been over 2 weeks of just nothing. Not able to sleep well. Now think about that. The bank didn't even endeavor to try to help him, folks.
Nope.
What if this were digital money and the computer's glitch is gone? How are you going to prove it? How are you going to get it back? Things moved quickly after CBS2 got involved. Miles said, I think you helped because when I was in the branch yesterday, they knew I was talking to you. The money, it turned out, was in a Chase investment account, one that Miles insisted he did not open nor authorize. A Chase spokesperson said Miles appears to be a victim of identity theft. People, let this sink in. Identity theft. It happens every day. Get your assets where you can keep your eyes on them and not in paper. And real tangible assets. How about putting back some gold and silver coins in a gun safe or something? Something that can't be hacked. As far as somebody just taking out your account. My computer is very secure. I actually wipe the hard drive off every couple of weeks, he said. Folks, that doesn't make any difference. I don't care how secure you think a computer system is, somebody will eventually hack it. Miles can't figure out how scammers could have touched his money. It's all back where it belonged now, so the mystery remains how and why someone moved it in the first place, but Miles knows what he's doing in the future. Okay. Get it out of there. Put it in hard assets. Really, folks, anything in the bank, I don't care what you think is cash, and by the way, the bank doesn't have $250,000 in cash. I don't know if your banker does that. I've cashed checks far smaller than that. And they had to wait for the money to be shipped in, Melody. We were talking like $20,000. They didn't have the money on hand. They had to wait for them to ship the money in the next day or next week or whatever. Now, think about that. There's no cash in the bank speak of. So, where's your money? It's on digits on computer. That's where it's at. Any comments on Melody?
No, but I mean, it's going to be up to the person to prove. Even with your stocks, it's going to be up to you to prove that you have that amount and that value in your account.
That's right.
And particularly, oh, sure, if, you know, one or two people, they might help you and so forth and whatnot. But you get a large number of folks who are in the same boat, and it can't be done. It will be up to you to prove. And if you keep your records on digits and everything else, and that gets wiped. I mean, Butch, it just amazes me that something major as far as computers are concerned hasn't happened yet.
Oh, yes, yes. Really. But, you know, even if you have a passport book and say, this is what I show in here, but the bank doesn't have it, you have it in a passport book, but how does that prove anything?
That's true. You can make
folks,
it up.
Hard assets, please listen. Get it out of there and put it in something hard. Call Bill and get something and put back. It's in your hand. Wow. Lawmakers taking donations from big tech while overseeing the industry. Now, this has got to work out real well. Nearly all members of Congress, who have overseen privacy and antitrust issues have received donations or lobbying money from big tech, according to a Public Citizen report. 94% of lawmakers on Capitol Hill with jurisdiction over key big tech issues have received money from the industry, according to a Public Citizen report released Wednesday. Another, or altogether, big tech political action committees and lobbyists contributed nearly $3.2 million to lawmakers who are specifically tasked with regulating the industry. What's that? That's a fox watching the hen house. In total, 134 of the 142 members of these committees accepted money from big tech PACs and lobbyists in 2020, the report found. Democrats received 1.7. Now, folks, don't get too excited. Republicans received 1.4. It's the same group, different name. In this moment of enhanced security, tech companies are also going to spend millions in doubt through the Rolodexes looking for officials to stop regulation and legislation needed to protect consumers, Lisa Gilbert, Executive Vice President of Public Citizen, said. That is simply unacceptable. So not only are they taking bribes, they're going to let them get by more. Melody, how clear can that be? How unbiased can they be when they take millions of dollars from these companies that they're supposed to oversee?
Well,
making sense to you?
No, I have no comment.
And I will say this, and this you mentioned about digital artwork. Two friends made art history buying a $70 million digital work. Think about that. This auction took place at Christie's in London, immediately made Beeples, B-E-P-L-E-S, artwork, one of the most expensive pieces ever sold by living artists. So, folks, this is unbelievable. But on top of that, they have now come out with a brand new wristwatch. Star Wars wristwatch. Star Wars Death Star wristwatch. Behold, a Lucasfilm authorized watch with enough firepower to destroy an entire bank account. It cost $150,000 for a wristwatch.
I'll go put on my Timex. Thank you very much.
I mean, this is foolishness beyond words. But the two guys have spent $69.3 million for digital work. This, I can't pronounce your names, Vignesh Sundarsian and Anand Vitkaswarsian, bought this artwork at an auction. There would be an auction. And spent $69.3 million for digital artwork. And the wristwatch is going to have all kinds of things on it, from, you know, some titanium parts. It's going to have this star-shaped turbobillion cage required. All these, it's going to be really fancy at $150,000. So, wow. What the heck? Let's get us one each.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah. And the producer, Todd, too. Yes.
Yeah, Todd can for his own.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That's right.
And very quickly, L.A. cops attack with rocks, bottles, and smoke bombs were trying to clear out homeless camp. Now, this is in Los Angeles, and neighbors were complaining about the homeless. And I can understand that. I can. But some of the people there probably want to be homeless, but I'm sure there's some that don't. And this is really sad. In America today, we have 700 tents and makeshift houses and have been taken out there and scattered. That's sad. Melody, I'm finished. It's time up.
Well,
time
it's
up.
Sad. We're out of time, and we'll be back on Monday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.